Hello everyone, my name is Haley Elizabeth and this is my true crime podcast where once a week I sit down and I talk about all things true crime. And the story we're talking about today takes place in Sapporo, Japan at a local love motel. Now for those who don't know what a love motel is, it's actually quite common in Asia and it's basically a hotel where couples will get a room for either a night or a couple hours and do, well, I think you can put two and two together and find out what happens at a love motel. Usually it's easy to spot a love motel because they have things such as cute neon signs, posters on the windows with sexual innuendos, and they also have a rest rate and a stay rate, where a stay rate is basically the cost of a room per night versus a rest rate is a rate that they have by the hour. And these rooms at these love motels tend to also be themed, such as role play rooms that come with costumes and props. And there's actually some really wild love motels all over Japan. Like if you're into like a doctor sort of fantasy, they actually have motels where they have rooms that look like hospital rooms so you could fulfill that fantasy. And there's also a hotel that looks like the inside of a subway train if your fantasy is to do things on public transport without actually doing it. There's also another love motel in Japan called Hotel Alpha, where this is just all pure BDSM, and they also have things where you can be suspended on the walls or from the ceiling. And back in July of 2023, a 29-year-old woman by the name of Runa Tamura was at a local love motel in the red light district of Sapporo, Japan. Runa had booked a room that was all pink for a couple of hours. Runa was sharing this room with a man that she had met at the club, and a couple hours later, Runa would walk out of the motel room wearing the complete opposite of what she was wearing earlier. When she walked in, she was wearing a club-looking outfit and she just had on her normal hair, which was black hair, her glasses. But upon leaving the hotel, she actually put on a blonde wig, was wearing all black clothing, and wearing a black fedora. Runa would then walk outside and get picked up from this motel by her father and is seen leaving the wearing her wig, her clothes, and her suitcase. But although the footage could see that this woman walking out of the motel was clearly Runa with a suitcase, but what the cameras couldn't pick up was what was inside of the suitcase. And inside that suitcase would be the decapitated head of the man that she had just brought to the motel from the club. Runa's father, Osamu Tamura, was a 59-year-old man and was a very well-known educated psychiatrist and was actually head of the Kinoku Central Hospital Psychiatric Unit. Osamu was married to his wife, who was 60-year-old Hiroko, and the both of them had a daughter named Runa. Now, as far as Runa's upbringing, Runa was described growing up to be a bit of a loner. She didn't have many friends, never went outside much, and people would often say that they barely saw her smile. One of Runa's hobbies was collecting dolls, and she often spent a lot of time making little trinkets for her dolls. But as a kid, Runa would often get in trouble. Like this one time, when Runa was young, she had went to school wearing a dress, and some boy ran up to her saying, quote, "You look like an anime," which I don't think this boy was trying to make fun of her or anything. I think he was trying to mean it as a compliment. But Runa was very offended by this. And so Runa, as a fifth grader, pulled out a knife. Where did she get this knife? I have no clue. And started chasing the boy around the classroom with this knife and told him that she was gonna kill him. Another time, the teachers were eating lunch in the break room and they were passing around an essay Runa had wrote that said, quote, "I had lots of fun on the school field trip, but I was shocked that I was the only one that brought a wooden sword. There seems to be very few girls who are interested in knives and swords like I am." And so due to these behavior issues, Runa's parents would often get called in, and after reading the essay, it was sort of the last straw for the school. The school brought both of her parents in for a one-on-one and suggested Runa get help for what she may be going through. And Runa's father, Dr. Tamura, was offended, and he insisted that nothing was wrong with his daughter, and he is a psychiatrist, and so if there was something wrong with her, he would know. And so throughout Runa's life, she was never given any help, but being an only child, Runa was still spoiled. Runa was very spoiled as she grew up, and as I said, this family dynamic was a bit weird. Her parents would work endlessly and go out of their way to give Runa everything she wanted and needed. At 29 years old, Runa was still living with her parents and was said to be the HBIC of the household. She basically ran the house, and her parents looked up to her as if she was like royalty. When her father, Dr. Tomura, would go on business trips, he would go out and buy Runa these frilly big Lolita type dresses and bring them home to her. The family also lived in a 3-story concrete luxury home. On top of that, they also had a huge garden in their backyard. And in Japan, 3-story houses like these are considered mansions. You have to have lots of money in order to afford a house like this. And even Runa's friends would often say that they didn't really like Runa. They described her as very awkward and shy and wouldn't really talk much. And whenever she would talk, she would make very offensive jokes or just talk about some really dark and twisted things. And Runa's friends would go on to say that it was a shame because Runa was pretty, she was smart, her family was very well off. She had pretty much her whole life set up for her and could go any route she wanted to and have more opportunities than most. But whenever her friends would take Runa places, they said that Runa would just sit in the corner on her phone the entire time and look miserable, although her parents, as I said, gave her everything she wanted and showered her with more love and attention than anyone could ask for. And so that leads us to July 1st in Sapporo, Japan at Hotel Letts. Hotel Letts is a love motel located in the red light district of Japan, and on July 1st, Runa would check into this hotel with a 62-year-old man named Hitoshi Ura at around 10:50 p.m., and they had got the room for just a few hours. At around 2 a.m., Runa is seen leaving the motel in a blonde wig, a hat, and a suitcase in her father's car. About 2 hours after Runa left, in the middle of the night, the staff had noticed that room 202, the one that Runa and Hitoshi she was staying in, had bought 3 hours in that room, but they only saw one of the attendees leave. So a receptionist decides to go up to the room and see what happened, because this isn't the first time something like this has happened. Some people just accidentally fall asleep if they've had a long night. You know, it happens. And so the receptionist goes upstairs and knocks on the door 3 separate times with no answer before going in. And when she walked into the main room, she was surprised to see that there was nothing out of order, but it seemed weirdly a little bit too clean, to the point where it kind of looked like no one had stayed there at all. The bed was still made, there was no trash or things moved in the main area, and so at first this receptionist was a little confused. That was until the woman had walked into the bathroom, and that's when she would find in the bathtub, with his hands tied behind his back, Hitoshi Ura, naked with his head decapitated. This woman falls backwards and screams as she goes downstairs, tells her co-workers, and they call the police. When the police arrive to the crime scene, they take the body in for autopsy and found that this was the man of 62-year-old Hitoshi Ura, who was actually a husband and a father of 2. Now, there are a lot of questions. Who killed him and why did they kill him? And also, on the flip side, what was a man like Hitoshi, a man with a wife and kids, doing at a love motel? Hitoshi was described by family and friends as very kind and friendly with no criminal record. And what's even crazier is that Hitoshi was 62 years old. Now, when you look at pictures of him online, he looks 40 at best. He does not look aged at all, but he was actually 62 years old. And also online, when looking at photos, you would find that most of the photos of Hitoshi is actually pictures of him wearing women's makeup and clothing. There's only one photo of him in masculine clothing, I'm assuming when he was in the army as a young man, but all the other photos are of him wearing women's makeup and wearing women's clothing. Now, this was something something that Hitoshi often did. Hitoshi would go out to clubs dressed in women's attire and try to allegedly lure young women to love motels and have sex with them. And we're unsure if his wife was aware of these outings, but I'm assuming she wasn't, because I couldn't imagine someone who would be okay with their husband going to clubs and staying in love motels with other girls. And in July of 2023, Hitoshi on this night had plans of going out, so he got dressed up, he put on his clothes, put on his makeup, and went out to the club in the red light district of Sapporo, Japan, where he would later meet Runa. Runa and Hitoshi was seen on security footage on the dance floor, where Runa seems to be a bit more clingy than Hitoshi. The whole night, Runa is seen hugging him, dancing, laying her head on his shoulder, and kissing his neck. And there's actually footage of both Hitoshi and Runa at the club. And in this footage, when you zoom in on the background, what you see standing off to the side in the background is Runa's father staring intensely at Runa while he holds Runa's coat. And so in all of this footage, there's even footage of Runa dancing on Hitoshi, and literally less than 6 feet away from Runa is her father staring intensely at them, like off to the side, while he's holding her coat. And it's not like Runa's dad was trying to blend in or like try to not make himself noticeable. He was literally standing off to the side, arms at his side, not moving, staring directly at Runa as she was dancing with Hitoshi. It straight up looked like a 29-year-old woman went to the club with her dad and told him, "Hey, hold my coat," while she danced with other guys while he watched, which is so weird and creepy. I mean, imagine being at the club and you're like drunk and you're feeling the music, you know, you're just like doing your thing, you're in your own world, and then you turn around and your dad is less than 6 feet away from you, just like staring at you dancing on all these guys and like kissing on their necks and stuff like that. Like, that is just so weird. That is so weird. I don't even understand how a father could watch his daughter do something like that, like very intensely, not even look away. So at the end of the night, Runa and Hitoshi decided to go to a local love motel to get to know each other in a more quieter setting. Runa's father, Dr. Tamura, then takes Runa and Hitoshi to the Let's Motel, where Runa then books a room for a couple hours. Now, according to Runa's family, they say that after this, they had booked the motel room. That's when Runa and Hitoshi went upstairs, and Hitoshi would be the one to further sexually assault Runa. Runa's grandpa would come out to the media and say that he believes Hitoshi didn't dress like a woman because he liked to, but because it was a way to lure women in and allow women to let their guard down around him and trust him. Once again, this is just an allegation and there's no evidence to back up these claims. Runa herself had said that Hitoshi lured her to the love motel and even alleged to film the assault and threatened to blackmail Runa and her family with the footage. But Runa's family would also go on to say that after this assault, Runa's father had confronted Hitoshi about this and made a deal with Hitoshi that if he promised to stay out of Runa's life, then Runa would stay out of his, then they wouldn't go to the police. And that was like their agreement. And shortly after this night of July 1st, it was said that the whole entire family went into lockdown. And I don't mean like COVID lockdown or anything. I mean like they literally just did not leave the house. None of the neighbors had seen any of them leaving or entering the home. Neighbors would often say that Dr. Tamura would often go outside and sit on his front porch while eating a cup of ramen and watching the streets intently, like he was some neighborhood watch. And even the neighbors that walked past, they would say that Dr. Tamura would stare them down until they walked away. And it just overall made them extremely uncomfortable to walk past his house. And other times, they would say that instead of sitting on his front porch, he would actually sit in his car that was parked in his driveway, eating a whole box of bentos all day while looking down the street. Neighbors who used to say hi to him now felt extremely uncomfortable saying anything to him. When Dr. Tamura was later asked why he did this, he would go on to tell this story, how the reason he was out there was because he was waiting for Hitoshi. He would go on to say that after Runa was sexually assaulted by Hitoshi, that's when Runa would confide in her parents sense about everything that happened. So Dr. Tomoda confronted Hitoshi about this and made that deal and said that if you stay out of Runa's life, we won't call the police. But apparently Hitoshi had broke this promise and actually showed up to the home multiple times. And also, side note, if this is true, I have no clue how Hitoshi would even find out what their address was. And so after Hitoshi's body was found in the bathtub, it took the police 3 weeks to try to piece together who could have done this, because it really was very hard to find Runa. I mean, Runa was just a random party goer, and they had no clue who she was, what her name was, who the older man that she came with was. They were just very confused. But by piecing together the crime scene, witness statements from the hotel staff, party goers at the club, and the time frame between when Runi and Hitoshi had checked into the motel versus when Runa left by herself in a wig, police then concluded that this is might have what happened. So what we know for a fact is that Runa and Hitoshi had checked into the motel at 10:50 p.m. that night. When they got upstairs, at some point, Runa was able to get Hitoshi naked and convinced him to go into the bathtub. Now, it's unknown if Runa had handcuffed Hitoshi before or after getting him in the bathtub, but it's believed that Runa was able to convince Hitoshi to get in the bathtub after saying that it was a fantasy of hers to do something in a bathroom and handcuffed. So when Runa was able to get Hitoshi into the bathtub and handcuffed, that's when Runa had told him to wait for her because she had something special for him. Hitoshi then waited handcuffed in the bathtub while Runa went into the main all pink room. Runa would then go into her suitcase and put on a raincoat with skin tight rubber gloves, and she would take a knife out of her suitcase before going into the bathroom. When she went into the bathroom, that's when Runa would stab Hitoshi multiple times in the back of the neck. She would continue stabbing him all over his body until he was dead, and that is when Runa would begin decapitating his head with the saw that she had brought inside of her suitcase. Once she was able to decapitate his head, that's when she placed his head inside of a bag and put that bag inside of her suitcase. At this point, Runa began cleaning the scene for 3 hours, which is a little odd because she never cleaned her clothes and the bathroom. There was weirdly not a speck of blood all over the place except for the bathtub where Hitoshi was. It's like she had intensively cleaned every single thing about the place except for the body itself. Because obviously, if you leave a dead body in a bathtub, it's inevitable someone is gonna find it, and then they're gonna look for the murderer, and then you're gonna get caught. And so it kind of plays into maybe Runa had committed this murder for attention, but we'll get more into that later. Runa then left the motel wearing all black clothing, a blonde wig, and a black fedora. When Runa came downstairs, she actually went to the front desk woman and handed her the key to the room and said, quote, "Thank you, I'm gonna head out first." Then she later leaves and gets into a silver car parked outside that was ironically the same car that dropped her off 3 hours prior. And even more ironically was the same car in the family's driveway said to be Runa's father's car. After this, at around 3 a.m. at this point, Tomoda and his daughter Runa would be seen driving to another club for Runa to just party the night away, all while Hitoshi's body would lie dead and headless back at the motel, and his head was in Runa's suitcase sitting in her father's trunk. When Runa and her father had gotten home from the club that night, that's when Runa would take the head out of her suitcase and put it in their family's bathtub. It was then where allegedly a video was recorded by Runa's father of Runa playing with the head, such as poking and swishing the eyeballs, swirling them around, playing with his tongue. There's also said to be footage of the actual murder of Hitoshi that shows Runa attacking Hitoshi with a knife from behind. And then in late July of 2023, 3 weeks after the murder, over 200 police officers were on the case, and they were able to work quickly and narrow down suspects to Runa and her family. Through the footage of Runa and Hitoshi together at the club, as well as other witness statements and DNA found at the crime scene, the police were able to obtain a search warrant for the home and a upon showing up to the home was in complete disarray and was even given the name, quote, the garbage home. There was trash piled up in front of the home all by the street. There was random boxes thrown all over the front lawn, as if the family had gotten packages over the next couple of days, and instead of breaking down the box and putting it in like a recyclable bin, they literally just took whatever they needed and threw the box out the window. And the inside wasn't any better, honestly. There was boxes stacked all over the home, garbage all over the floors, and as the police moved more into the home, that's when they would notice a rotting smell coming from specifically the bathroom upstairs. And upon opening the bathroom door, that's when the police would discover lying in the bathtub would be Hitoshi's decapitated head that had been decomposing in the bathtub for 3 weeks. The police would then go into Runa's room, where they would find the blood-soaked raincoat that was never washed or thrown away. They would also find the blonde wig that she was wearing then, as well as her collection of 20 knives and 4 saws. And when the police had asked why Runa had 20 knives, Dr. Tomura, Runa's father, had spoke for Runa and said, quote, she collects knives, so what? She cuts tree branches outside, and that saw was for Runa's crafting hobby of making trinkets for her dolls. As the police searched, they would later find Hitoshi's ID, his clothing with his DNA on it, and his wallet. After the head was found, that's when Runa and her dad, Dr. Tomura, would be arrested, and the very next day, Runa's mother, Hiroko, was also arrested. When looking more into Runa's whereabouts on the day of the murder, Runa and her dad would be seen at a local store where Runa was buying a blonde wig, a raincoat, gloves, a knife, a saw, toy handcuffs, and a suitcase. This definitely showed that Runa knew what she was doing at the time of the crime, and she knew what she was doing wrong. Runa purposely brought gloves to the crime scene to not leave fingerprints, and brought a raincoat so that she would get no blood on her and it would be easier to clean, which on the contrary was a little bit odd because she actually ended up never cleaning the raincoat. But besides that, it was very obvious that she was very aware of what she was doing was wrong. Afterwards, police would collect the whole family's phones and laptops, where they would find on Runa's laptop, she would be looking up the case within the past 3 weeks, as if she was trying to keep up on the case and see what everybody was saying about her. Runa's grandpa was the only one in the family that is speaking to the media and is defending the family. Runa's grandpa would go on to say that Hitoshi was only dressed as a woman as a way to lure girls in, and it was speculated that some of Hitoshi's friends have said the same thing. There were times where Hitoshi would go out and party and dress a little bit more feminine so that he would get close to women. His friends would say that some women would be a little uncomfortable to this approach and try to get out of it, while others would let their guard down and followed Hitoshi to a love motel where he would later then sexually assault them. Runa's grandpa would also go on to say that this is what he believed happened to Runa. The only reason she left with him was because she thought that Hitoshi was an older woman, so she felt comfortable around him. But this theory is basically just thrown out the window because it sparks the question, Runa, prior to all of this, used to be very reclusive and shy, and she never dated, she never had friends, so why would she randomly go to a nightclub with her dad watching her like a hawk the entire time, then later on, her dad would see Runa kissing and dancing and grinding on this random guy at the club, and then furthermore, drive Runa and this random guy that they just met at the club to a nearby love motel for a couple hours. I mean, there's literally only one thing that can happen at a love motel, and I feel like as a father, that should be very uncomfortable to drive your daughter and be a part of that experience. And then on top of all of that, all of a sudden, this guy that Runa goes home with ends up dead by the end of the night, and his head is found in the family's bathtub 3 weeks later. There's literally only one explanation as to what happened, and after this came out, people were absolutely shocked because Dr. Tomura had a wonderful reputation as a psychiatrist. No one ever said anything bad about him, no doctor complaints, no patient complaints. Dr. Tomura would even go on seminars and speak about mental health and the social problems in Japan. He would talk about how in Japan, the government overworks their people, and then in return, it makes them stressed and anxious and depressed. And in order to help the collective mental health issue arise in Japan, we need to fix society first and normalize the talk of mental health. And mind you, this is coming from the same man that went to the club with his 29-year-old daughter and watched her grind up on men and kiss all up on their necks while watching her like a hawk with his coat in her hand. And then furthermore, drove his daughter to a love motel and then later picked her up and then drove her to another club. And then after that, took the decapitated head of the guy from the first club and put it in his bathtub for 3 weeks. It's just terrifying. And then in March of 2024, so following the arrest last year in October, the three family members underwent an intensive psychiatric evaluation for 6 months. During this evaluation, Runa tried to claim that she suffers from DID and had a mental episode, and it was actually her alternate personality that made her kill Hitoshi. But early of last month, in March, it was made public that all three family members were indicted and were deemed fit to stand trial, meaning they knew what they were doing at the time of the crime. Runa Tomura, 30 years old now, was indicted over the killing and decapitation of 62-year-old Hitoshi and could be facing only up to 20 years. The prosecutors also charged Asuma Tomura, a 60-year-old doctor, with aiding and abetting the murder, with a sentence of only 10 to 23 years. They also indicted her mother, Hiroko Tomura, 61, with aiding in the mutilation and abandonment of a victim's corpse. Reports have not yet stated if the family has flat out admitted, but I'm assuming since they're being charged that there's going to be a trial, meaning that they might plead not guilty, which is going to be insanely hard to do. A set trial date has also not been set, but following up to the trial, there has been speculations on why Runa may have went out and killed, and even crazier, why her family was completely okay and fine with her doing it and leaving a head in their bathtub for 3 weeks. A lot of officials believe that this kill was more Runa and her father, and her mother had not been completely away from the crime, but she was a little more distant than the two of them. People believed Runa and her dad had already had an odd relationship, and maybe it's because they're both dark and twisted. It was believed that they both wanted to execute a pleasure kill, not a kill with intention, but just for the feeling, and it's possible Runa's dad wanted to experience it through Runa. And that's why he drove her around wherever she wanted and recorded her playing with the head in the bathroom. On the flip side, another theory is that maybe this was a mutual thing. Maybe this was something that Runa and her father wanted to experience together. A criminal psychologist also said that they believe the relationship was very toxic. Runa's dad was overprotective and very close to Runa in an uncomfortable way. One friend would even say that his relationship with Runa was odd, and he was, quote, always there when something happened, leading Runa to be very dependent on her father. I mean, it's already weird that Runa's dad was watching Runa grind and kiss on this guy at the club while he holds her coat, and on the flip side, Runa was completely okay with having her dad watch her and do all of that. I mean, if Runa at any point was very uncomfortable with her dad there, I'm pretty sure Runa would probably just walk up to her dad and say, hey, can you sit in the car for a bit? And he would be more than happy to do it. I'm pretty sure he would probably kiss Runa's feet on the way out, because that's how much Runa's parents had worshipped Runa. And so I think it's even weirder that Runa was comfortable with her dad watching her do all of this. And I mean, it's no secret that the family knew that she had killed Hitoshi, because his head was in the bathtub for 3 weeks. I mean, the police immediately smelled the rotting smell of a body as soon as they walked in the house. So the whole family 100% knew what had happened, but all of them were completely okay with it. And there's also another theory going around, because as I said, they just got indicted last month, and so their trial should be coming up sometime this year. But a lot of people are also speculating the theory on what if Dr. Tomoda, Runa's dad, was the ringleader of this operation. Which, I mean, isn't that crazy of a theory? Her father literally was a psychiatrist, and he wasn't just a regular psychiatrist. He was head of the psychiatric unit at the hospital that he worked at, and he also did seminars. So, you know, out of all people, a psychiatrist who has an intense amount of education in the brain and emotions and behaviors of humans, they would be the people that could probably manipulate others the most and be successful at it. And it is a theory that possibly this is what Runa's dad did to Runa. That maybe Dr. Tomoda had groomed Runa ever since she was younger as a way to make her extremely dependent on her father so that she couldn't go anywhere, and that's why he spoiled her so much so that she would be dependent on him. And then he himself had this dark and twisted fantasy of killing someone and wanted to use Runa as a tool to get there. And he then manipulated her and made her think that killing someone would be interesting and cool and experimental, and no one's gonna find out if we just kill a random person, and just tried to convince her until inevitably she came around to the idea and actually committed the murder. And I mean, this honestly would explain a lot, because as I said, their relationship together had to have been uncomfortably close. I mean, once again, she was at the club with her father staring right at her. I think collectively, or at least I hope collectively, and if not collectively, maybe you need to take a step back and reflect. I'm pretty sure if your dad or father figure in your life was staring at you like a hawk, grinding on men and kissing on men in the club, you would feel super uncomfortable. You would definitely stop what you're doing. You definitely, you know, straighten yourself up, you know, feel super awkward to do anything because your parent is staring right at you. And it's so weird to me that Runa did not feel any of that uncomfort. And so that really plays a big role and shows you how close, uncomfortably close, that their relationship really was. But yeah, that is the end of today's case. If you guys found this case interesting, make sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe if you're on YouTube. I would love to hear all of your guys' comments and opinions in the comments below. If you want to follow me on any of my socials, like my Instagram or Pinterest, that will also be linked down below. And yeah, as always, be safe out there. Get outside today. Get some fresh air. And as always, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I will see you guys next week.